All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation, it is that time, the best time of the week. It is Crypto 101 podcast time. So I am joined by my trusty compadre, Mr. Aaron Pizza Mind Malone. Aaron, how the heck are we doing over there, sir? Your video looks a little bit more blurry than it usually looks like.
You know, I've lost everything except my name, thanks to Binance Futures liquidating me way ahead of schedule. You know,
if I pick
10x, I expect 10x to be, you know, how much leeway I have, not 7 or 6.5 or whatever is, you know, written into the code to take all my money from me. But this is a travesty. Why does the SEC allow this?
Well, you know, they don't. That's the thing. crazy times. We're recording this. It's September 14th. The markets are extremely volatile today. Solana is still offline. It's been 10 hours and counting, and a lot of craziness. But one protocol out there that is very well equipped to handle volatility and very well equipped to handle fast transactions and built specifically for traders is Perpetual Protocol. And we're joined by the co-founder of Perpetual Protocol, Yenwen Feng. Yenwen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be in here.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about a bunch of different stuff. And you know, a lot of people on this show, they're maybe, you know, traders, or they are long-term investors thinking about this space, or maybe they're just enthusiasts. But I think everybody has heard the term leverage before, but maybe not everybody fully understands it. And we're going to talk about leverage. We're going to talk about what a perpetual swap is and futures and derivatives and all sorts of stuff. And so if you're listening right now at home or in your Uber or driving to, you know, work or wherever, and all those words sound scary, maybe click next on the episode. But if all those words sound exciting and, that's kind of what gets you going, then I think this is going to be an awesome episode. So without further ado, Yenwen, let's dive in. Catch us up. Who are you and where, you know, from what background, like what were you building before you came into crypto, and why did you decide to build this protocol specifically?
Yeah. I'm actually from Taiwan. My co-founder and I, we actually started working together from like 2015. We have been like trying different things. I mean, like social apps, or sometimes we do like e-commerce or other things. I mean, try to get something that really that we can do it for longer. And
serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm an engineer. So I just actually like building things and then, you know, watch user, I mean, know their needs, something like that. But I think in like 2017, we kind of like saw the popularity of CryptoKitty. And then actually the time we got into this like crypto rabbit hole, I mean, at first we feel that, you know, this like crypto game is really interesting. You can own the asset. But after kind of like digging a little bit, we found that actually it's much more than this. You know, you can actually write some program that's trustable. That's, you know, that's actually something that we never thought about before. So
you kind of saw 2017 unfold, the ICO boom, how things, you know, new ways of forming capital. Then you saw the very first tip of the iceberg of NFTs with CryptoKitties, it sounds like. And that kind of brought you into this mindset of, wow, there's a whole new way of writing programs, of software engineering. And that led you to founding the Perpetual Protocol. Is that correct?
No. I mean, we actually went on and do other things. I mean, like, so we actually, at that time, we want to build a decentralized option protocol at first. So that's called Cinch, but it failed.
Cinch.
Yeah. So it's actually a very interesting construction of options. I think it's really interesting, but we failed because I think at that time people are building like this, like, you know, we try to bring the central exchange or bring the traditional finance on chain. So we just kind of like build the things like traditional finance. So we kind of like bring in the option on chain, then that doesn't work. And
do you think it was just a little too early ahead of its time?
Yeah, that's actually before DeFi. So before people call decentralized finance DeFi, yeah.
I think people will probably get around to, you know, pretty good decentralized options, but still a little far ways away.
Yeah.
Keep that's it in actually, your back pocket, though. Don't throw it away.
Yeah. But that's actually the first thing we want to build. I mean, like this like programmable money thing is really interesting. And but we failed to actually raise to attract a group of users. So we actually ends up joining Binance Lab. So Binance Lab at that time, they run accelerator in San Francisco. We joined and we kind of like pivoted to a crypto accounting software. So we were building a crypto accounting software for accountants in San Francisco, working with companies, trying to get the tax right, which is actually very hard.
So, yeah, similar to maybe like Zen Ledger, who they've been on the show before.
Yeah. So,
and Binance Labs to help you incubate your project. I mean, that's a great partner.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, like actually in 2018, the market crashed. So everyone is now kind of like, I mean, like it's really hard to raise, but I mean, like Binance still like provide support to us. So, you know, we kind of like keep working on that project for a while.
People were probably concerned there was never going to be a capital gain to calculate ever again in the bear market.
Yeah, that's true. So they actually want the test right because they are not going to pay anything. Yeah, they don't have anything to pay. Yeah.
So you guys pivoted. And I think, I mean, that's one of the stories that we hear time and time again. I think people at home listening right now, you know, we'll be able to take away like one of the key principles of like success and all these successful protocols or businesses is like having the ability to pivot, and your business starts out one way. And everybody's kind of on board with this one vision. Markets change, conditions change. You have to be flexible. And you guys pivoted into a decentralized trading protocol. And so tell us a little bit about what Perpetual Protocol really is, besides just, would you call it a DEX, a decentralized exchange that only trades crypto derivatives, or is there something else that we're missing?
Yeah. So after the crypto accounting, actually, I think in 2019, we actually saw the popularity of Uniswap and the synthetics, we decided to pivot again. So that's actually why, I mean, when we start working on Perpetual Protocol. So, I mean, it's actually, I mean, a DEX. So people can trade because we provide a UI, but underneath it's actually a protocol. So everyone actually can interact with the smart contract itself. You don't really need to go through the UI. I mean, most of the retail or like me, myself, I use the UI because I place trades, but actually everyone can access that smart contract, and the smart contract is on chain. Everything in Perpetual Protocol is on chain. So, I mean, everything is there.
That's really awesome. Real quick, just want to interrupt the episode to give a shout out to the Bitcoin Taipei community on Telegram. Some of the kindest group of individuals that I've ever run across in this space. In fact, that's where I first heard about Perpetual Protocol quite some time ago, and it caught my eye. So we've been at this for a really, really long time. What's the status of the project now? As here we are, mid-September 2021. You know, I'm looking for something that's going to still be able for me to use as an American citizen, past all the huge regulations coming, past the end of this bull market and into the bear market where I can still grow my funds. Will you guys be ready either next year or the year after that? Where are you at in this project right now?
Whoa, that's a great question. So I think the first thing is that let me briefly give you an update where we are. So the project actually launched last year. It took us several months to build it. But last December, we launched it. And until now, we actually have really good traction. So the trading, the trading volume wise, over 26 billion, in total. So a lot of trading activity on top of Perpetual Protocol. And the user actually grows steady. Most of the time. So we also have a lot of retail users to come and use our projects. So that's really good. And we are actually working on V2 right now. But there is one thing you touch on is you are in US. Can you use Perpetual Protocol? If you go to our website, perp.fi, you actually cannot, access Perpetual Protocol because the UI blocks, US citizen or IP from US. That's of course because the regulation is tougher in US. So we actually are not are in no position against the law. We built this project doesn't really want to try to break everything that we have. But at the same time, Perpetual Protocol has grown, for a long time. So we do have other, people building UI on top of us. So you can actually use alternative UI. So, there are AppHash team, they build a UI on top of us. So you can actually use those UI. Or if you are okay with hosting your UI, we have an open source UI you can host, or you can direct access the smart contract. So only the UI hosted by the team, because I think we do have a lot of risk, from this point of view. But to be honest, I do hope that we can leave that in the future if the regulation has more clarity and then we can comply.
Very interesting. Yeah. So one of the interesting things about Perpetual Protocol is that it also enables the use of leverage on this decentralized exchange. So it's kind of like Uniswap, if Uniswap allowed up to 10x leverage. So, but better yet, it also is free from fees. Is that correct? Or are the fees are a lot less than a normal Uniswap transaction, which sometimes, could cost a couple $100. We saw just the other week, it cost $1,000 when the Ethereum gas price was just skyrocketing. So tell us a little bit about how Perpetual Protocol solves this problem.
Sure. So there are actually two fees. So Uniswap charge you the transaction fees, and then the Ethereum network charge you the gas fee. So the transaction fee Uniswap charges 0.3%. And the gas fee actually depends, just like you said. I mean, the gas go to like 1,000 GUA, I mean, last week.
Yeah, and so, you said 0.3% is what Uniswap charges every transaction, and that goes to the Uniswap token holders?
No, for the traders. So every time you swap token, Uniswap actually charge 0.3%, I mean, of that transaction volume. So you actually get a little bit less token. Mm. So that's for the transaction fee. And then the fees actually go to the liquidity provider of Uniswap.
Okay, got it. So the market makers that are using liquidity.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
So for Perpetual Protocol, we actually charge 0.1%. So so kind of much less than Uniswap. So every transaction we take like 10 base points. So the fees actually, and the interesting part is for the gas fee. We actually pay for the gas fee, I mean, for all the users, for all the traders who trade on Perpetual Protocol. So you don't pay any gas fee. Yeah.
And where does Perpetual Protocol kind of get that reserve in order to pay for those gas fees?
That's actually because we are running on a sidechain called XDAI. So
XDAI is yours.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole network is running on XDAI. Because the gas fee on XDAI is much less than Ethereum mainnet. So we can kind of cover that cost. And we also use a lot of some mainnet transactions. So every time, I mean, like if you want to place a trade, you actually sign the transaction and then we will kind of like pay the fees and then send the transaction for you to the XDAI network. So you don't really need to change the mainnet stacking. So that's how it works on Perpetual. If you use the UI. So that's actually, I think, helps a lot, I mean, to the users, to the traders. So it's actually very easy. And the block time of XDAI is like 5 seconds. So it's much less than Ethereum.
Wow. Very interesting. Yeah, I love that. So I want to switch gears a little bit to the long tail assets. And can you kind of give listeners a brief definition of long tail assets and provide some insight into why you think these are beneficial to the crypto space?
Sure, of course. So long tail asset, if you look at that Uniswap, I mean, everyone can create a new market. So of course, I mean, you can trade ETH to DAI, ETH to USDC on Uniswap, but for example, if you create a token, I mean, like because of you have a restaurant, you want to create a token, you want your customer to pay, I mean, pay token for the meals, you can create that token. And then Uniswap is the place that if you want to create a token to trade to create a market to trade that token, you don't need any permission. You can just code a smart contract and then create that market. So that's what we call the permissionless market. So everyone can create their own market. That's actually why Uniswap got so popular, because all these like new DeFi projects, all these like new NFT projects, once they want to, kind of distribute their token, they actually go to Uniswap. They provide liquidity to their token, they create that market, and then everyone can trade. This whole like permissionless market thing actually, it kind of like a platform. I mean, Uniswap is the platform of all DeFi because of this. I mean, everyone can create a market to swap something. So yeah, I think that's really important for like decentralized world. Because I mean, like before Uniswap, you can only go to like central exchange, like Binance, like other place. You have to ask them to list you. Some of the exchange, they either charge you or they have lots of rules that make you, not make you suffer, but it's just like so complicated to get listed. On central exchange, but the Uniswap actually changed all of this.
Yeah, that's a great point. Being able to create your own markets on Uniswap is really what made it stand out from everything else and take off to be the unicorn that it is, kind of literally. So you mentioned that you're going to be releasing a version 2 of Perpetual Protocol sometime down the road. Can you give us a sneak peek at some of the new features that are being built in this new update?
Sure, of course. So the major change that we made to Perpetual V2 is that for Perpetual V1, we use the XYK model, for our pricing engine. So, everyone is using XYK. It's actually pretty easy to understand, but it's not really capital efficient. But and then in Perp V2, we're actually using the new Uniswap V3 as our pricing engine. So Uniswap V3, they come up with this really neat, you can provide liquidity within a range, you can concentrate that. So, the capital efficiency is just through the roof, because the market maker can control how they provide the liquidity. So we are going to use that, and then just like Uniswap V3, we can increase the capital efficiency dramatically by using them. Yeah, so I think that's the major change. And the second thing is that per V1, it doesn't have permissionless market creation, but per V2, we will build that permissionless market creation. So for everyone who want to create a new market, if they can provide some insurance fund in there, they can create that market.
Interesting. Awesome. So let's dive into a little bit about leverage. I think a lot of people here, they maybe have heard of it, but never have experimented with it or tried it and swore off of it for good. But what is leverage? Where does it come from? And how do people kind of safely think about it? There's a lot of people that watch this show that are not in America, and not in any sort of, jurisdiction that, bans it or whatever. So, for those kind of listeners, kind of explain to them a little bit about it.
Sure. Of course. Even if you are in US, you use leverage all the time. So leverage is actually kind of not on crypto. Yeah, it's banned. Yeah. If you ever borrow anything, you're actually using leverage. So, the most simple thing that, for leverage is that, you are kind of for example, you are using, your house as a collateral, you borrow some money, and then you buy a car or something. That's actually that's actually leverage. You kind of have more money than you have. Originally you have a house, but you actually use house as a collateral and then you buy a car. But of course the money doesn't come out of nowhere. You actually have debt. But I think in a simple form that leverage is that you can actually, if you have collateral $10,000, you can actually, use that as a collateral. And then you can borrow more. Maybe if you borrow 5,000 of that, you actually are, you have that leverage. Just 1.5x. Yeah. And then you can, if you use that to trade, you actually have more money than before. So you can trade more if you know what you are doing, or if you know the trend of the market. Where it goes, then you should be able to profit more by doing this. Yeah.
I love it. And so the perpetual swap has leverage built in, or can you kind of explain the novelty around the perpetual swap? And I think it was the BitMEX team that invented it, maybe in 2017 or early on in the game. And then it was all off chain, right? It was all on their own private servers, and you guys kind of took it, you codified it into a smart contract. But for everybody listening, perpetual swaps are the most liquid, probably trading instrument worldwide for crypto, and they trade on Deribit and FTX and all the kind of exchanges that Americans don't trade on. But what is the perpetual swap, right?
Sure, that's a good question. So perpetual swap, let's actually go back to, the borrowing. So, in crypto, actually you can do, you can do the same thing. You can put your money into Compound, you borrow some money out, and then you can trade, or you can actually do it recursively, recursively, and then you can trade more. So that's what actually one way you can get leverage. I mean, in US, if you can access compound, if you can borrow crypto, then you can actually have leverage. So perpetual protocol, like Bryce said, that is actually part, a new design from BMEX. So we can borrow, tokens or monies, and then to leverage up. But perpetual swap actually decide that you don't really need to borrow anything. It's actually a future contract. So future contract is like a contract between buyer and seller, or like two traders. So they design that a contract. You don't really need to borrow anything. You just need to find a counterparty. And then if they all agree, if we all agree on that, we are going to use like 2x, 5x, and then the total like notional value is equal, then the trade, comes through, and then, you can process. So they kind of like design this new financial instrument like future, but it doesn't really expire. So that's another part, but that's more complicated. But I think that's...
So it's almost like a perpetual swap. Like if somebody out there is comfortable with, futures basis, typically a future in, 1 month in advance might be trading at a 1% premium. So it's in contango, or a 1% discount. And so it's in backwardation, but with the perpetual swap, it never expires. And so it almost tracks exactly what the underlying is, because it should be settling in perpetuity. So it trades exactly at the same price as spot.
Yes. Of course, they are still like some like difference, but actually perpetual swap, most of the, it depends on design, but most of the design, it actually kind of have the effect, it expires every day. So it kind of like you have a future expires every day. So the actually the index tracks very closely to the spot price.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah, and even with all the different arbitrage opportunities across exchanges, right? For instance, maybe if an on-chain perpetual swap was trading rich compared to a Deribit perpetual swap, I'm sure lots of traders are arbitraging stuff like that away. Have you seen lots of activity and lots of real world adoption of the perpetual protocol, and are hedge funds using it? Do you have partners that maybe you could talk about some examples of how people are using it?
Sure. So we talked to lots of trading firms, like hedge funds. So they use it. Most people who trade crypto, they use perpetual swap. Because it's cheaper, it's easier to use. It gives you like leverage, like Binance, like at some point of time, they give you like 100x leverage. So they can actually leverage out like significantly. So that's really good to the trading firm. Yeah. And on decentralized, on DeFi, I don't think there are a lot of trading firms using perpetual right now. But I do believe that people who trade on centralized exchange will move on to decentralized, in the near future.
Yeah. Is there, what's like a key partnership that you would love to have? Like, is there any other token or project out there that you're like, man, if we could partner with them in some capability, whether it's Wi-Fi and, working yourself into a vault, or whether it's, Ampleforth and having a different sort of, collateral backing it. Like, I'm kind of curious if there's anything you have your eye on that would complement perpetual protocol really well.
Whoa, that's a great question. I would say, vault, like Yearn. So we don't-
The near protocol?
No, Yearn.
So, oh, Yearn, Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi or like other like Harvest or other, So like Wi-Fi is kind of like the first generation kind of like EOFarming, aggregators.
Yeah.
So they kind of like they go into the protocol, they provide liquidity, they get token, they sell the token, earn that yield. But to be honest, I think with perpetual or even with options, they actually can build more complex strategy like traditional finance. They can actually hedge the risk. So they can go into like more risky pool. So, it actually opens up a lot of opportunities for them. And then so we do want to like try to provide like this kind of like a basic layer for them to build like more complex like product for them. Yeah.
Yeah. I know of lots of yield farmers who like will basically get, you know, something for like, in order to basically isolate the APY of the farm, you'll simultaneously for every one thing that you farm, you'll short the derivative of it and you'll basically just isolate the yield. And so I could definitely see that being a huge, huge part of perpetual protocol, like having a service baked in to like, oh, have hedged yield farming. Like that's freaking cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Not that's only really that, cool. but
that's a billion. I mean, that's like well. Bigger than $1 billion market. I mean, that's like $1 trillion
You're right.
market.
You're right. And what you described is what mining farms do, not just yield farms, like actual mining farms. So to apply that to a yield farm is an absolutely brilliant idea. We may have to not air this episode and get to work on some development, but you mentioned hedging risk in your answer, Yenwen. Can you talk about how mining farms hedge their risk with perpetual swaps?
Sure, of course. So I mean, like the first thing is that maybe some of them using perpetual, but most of them using futures. So like, for example, I got like so many like, Bitcoin mining machines, and then, I can produce like maybe like 10,000 Bitcoin per month. And then because like, the price, the token price is so volatile, I might want to actually sell a future maybe like a month after. So I kind of like locking that price. So like Bitcoin, it's like, maybe it's like 35,000 of six, sorry, 3,500 right now. And then, I can actually sell a future. So right now, I mean, a month future. So because I know how much Bitcoin I can generate, and then I can lock in that profit. So that's just like something, I mean, most of the mining firm, they will do. I mean, once they feel the price is actually good, they just sell the future, try to lock in that profit.
Yeah, it's a very, very useful way of kind of hedging out your inventory risk. And a lot of the flows, I think, in crypto are driven actually by derivatives. We saw, what was it last Tuesday? Maybe the 7th. It was like the day after Labor Day, and there was a huge deleveraging to the tune of like $3.5 billion in volume across all the different exchanges. And it was very sharp. It lasted for about an hour, and it was just kind of a bunch of derivative contracts that were a little too leveraged, and a big player saw vulnerability and was able to wipe it out. But I always kind of think like, this analogy of, does the dog wag the tail or does the tail wag the dog? And in crypto, it seems like the tail, which is derivatives, kind of wags the dog. What are your thoughts there?
Actually, I totally agree. And I do believe that's the same in traditional finance.
Ah.
Because the derivative market is much larger than the spot market. Mm. Yeah. So,
So follow the liquidity.
Yeah, I don't know if this is good or bad, but that's just how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to kind of start to wrap things up. We've got one more question we ask everyone, but I'll get to that in a sec. I do really think that is a good point to tell people, like, even if you're not trading, derivatives or whatever, it's always key to pay attention to that data, because there's lots of signals in that data. And there's lots of good resources. And so a lot of good indicators are built off derivative data. And I think people are, maybe the market is maturing a little bit beyond just simple, technical analysis and relative strength indexes and standard deviations and stuff like that. And things are getting a little bit more advanced. So if you're not keeping up with the market and keeping up with the sources of data that you're crunching, you're going to fall behind the curve. And this conversation with you, Yenwen, has really, really brought that to light, just showing how much data there is out there and all these new platforms and how important the perpetual swap is and really how important derivatives are. So without further ado, I want to ask you one last question, and it's a pretty simple one. But if this was the very first podcast that somebody in the crypto space was listening to, They just heard about crypto last week from their buddy. They type in crypto on Google. Of course, Crypto 101 is the first one that comes up. And they listen to this podcast. Their mind is blown. They're like, holy smokes, what did I just listen to? What do you want those people to know?
You know, in that, I mean, do you say that in that podcast?
Yeah, like what do you want everybody to okay, know? Gotcha. One word of wisdom for newbies.
I personally think that everyone should know how automated market maker works.
Ooh, I like that. So everybody's research, go to Google and type in automated market maker and realize how those work.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Yen-Wen, thank you so much for your time. This was great. We really enjoyed it. I love Perpetual Protocol, full disclosure. I've got a bag. And I'm excited about where you guys are going. So without further ado, we'll bring you back on sometime for V2 for a big announcement.
Sure. Yeah. We'd love to be on here sometime after. Yeah.
Cool. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.